For our scripture reading this morning, we're turning God's Word to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Word of God in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers, in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. We read the word of God that far this morning. The text for our sermon is verses 3 through 5. Forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving, of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, Thanksgiving Day is an opportunity for us to reflect upon all of the earthly things God has provided to us in this past year. And that way it corresponds to Prayer Day in the springtime. In the spring, during the planting season, we gather together in order to ask God's blessing upon our labors in the upcoming year. Now, in the fall, at the time of harvest, get together again in order to express our gratitude to God for all that He's given to us. Even though many of us are not farmers whose livelihood is directly connected to the earth, we all receive our daily bread from God's provision to us through the earth. It's good for us to gather together then on this occasion to be reminded from the Word of God as to how we are to look at these earthly things. It's important for us in part because we live in a very materialistic society. The world in which we live presently is consumed by a spirit of worldliness. And we only need to look as far as the Black Friday madness that possesses some to see that. But we recognize in ourselves a sinful nature that is unthankful, that's covetous, that's tempted also to materialism. It's important for us then to hear from the Word of God the proper attitude and perspective that we're to have with regard to these earthly things. Now we might think that this is something too carnal and too earthly for the Word of God to address. The idea of food and money is such a carnal thing. Isn't God's Word more concerned with higher spiritual things? But the Word of God has a surprising amount to say about earthly things, and about how we view them and use them. One of the passages that does that is here in 1 Timothy chapter 4. This is a letter written by the Apostle Paul under the inspiration of the Spirit to young Pastor Timothy to give him instruction with regard to the exercise of his office as a minister. And in the chapter here, the Apostle warns Timothy about false teachers that are going to attack the church and the truth. And one of the ways that they're going to do so is by commanding God's people to abstain from marriage and from meats and all earthly things, and commanding that as if all of those earthly things are inherently sinful and corrupt. And the apostle then gives positive instruction to the young pastor with regard to the proper perspective on these earthly things. That every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. If Timothy gives that instruction to the church, he shows himself to be a good minister of Jesus Christ. And so we consider that this morning. Do so under the theme, receiving all with thanksgiving. First of all, take note of the proper perspective. Secondly, the genuine thanks. And then thirdly, the sanctified use. Receiving all with thanksgiving, the proper perspective, the genuine thanks, and the sanctified use. This Word of God is teaching us the proper perspective that we're to have concerning earthly things that God provides. And it teaches us that proper perspective over against a wrong attitude and perspective regarding earthly life and earthly things. The apostle warns against that in verse 3. When speaking of these false teachers, it says that they will forbid to marry and command to abstain from meats. Reference to marriage and to meats is supposed to be representative there of all earthly things. It's not just marriage and meats that are being forbidden, but really all of earthly life and the things of this earth. And the reason for rejecting them is that supposedly these things are inherently sinful. And so if the child of God uses them, the child of God is sinning. The argument is that these earthly things are dirty, they're polluted and corrupt, and when the child of God touches them and uses them, that filth and that pollution is transferred to the child of God. This perspective on earthly life has been found throughout the history of the church. It was a struggle for the early New Testament church. There were monks and ascetics who thought that all of earthly life and earthly things were inherently sinful and therefore had to be rejected by the child of God. And they went off and lived all by themselves, often in some desert place, rejecting as much as possible any earthly thing. There was even one man who went so far as to climb to the top of a tall, narrow pole and to sit there and live there for a lengthy period of time, to demonstrate his perspective that all of earthly life was sinful. That attitude was adopted in part by the Roman Catholic Church when they forbid the clergy to marry. They say that the ordinary church member may marry, but the clergy, the priests and so on, they have to remain celibate. Because celibacy is a supposedly higher level of spirituality. Marriage is something earthly, something carnal, something to be rejected if at all possible. The priests are supposed to live at this supposedly higher level of spirituality by rejecting marriage. Same thinking is found in certain branches of the Amish. Reject the owning certain earthly things like a TV or a computer or modern farm equipment or an automobile, or the same thinking that having these things will naturally pollute and corrupt the child of God. And then there is the thinking also of environmentalists today that reject the use of meat and of many other earthly things as being inherently wrong and sinful. There's always two dangers for the church in her attitude and perspective with regard to earthly things. There's the danger of materialism, of hankering after, coveting, and making all of one's life revolve around earthly things. But there are others who see that sin in some who overreact in the opposite direction by rejecting earthly life and earthly things being something inherently sinful. The Word of God, though, teaches something very different. The Word of God teaches us that these earthly things are good creations of God and therefore must not be rejected by us. Verse 3 says that God hath created them to be received. To be received and used is the sense there. Verse 4, for every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused. And verse 5, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. And the sense of it being sanctified there is that it's fit and proper for use for the child of God by the word of God and prayer. Earthly things are not inherently sinful, but they're good gifts to be received and used by the child of God. In the beginning, God made a good creation. At the end of the sixth day, God declared in Genesis 1, verse 31, and God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. There was no sin in his creation. All of the different parts of the creation were all in their proper place and order, and all of them serving the glory of the Creator. It was very good. Then, of course, man fell into sin. And with his fall into sin, he brought consequences not only upon himself, but upon the whole of the creation. The curse came to rest upon God's creation. And that continues yet today until the return of Jesus Christ. It's important that we understand that curse upon the earth properly. That curse does not mean that now earthly things, the good creatures of God, are now inherently sinful and polluted. Sin is not some physical or material substance, something that we can touch and handle. Sin is always a spiritual, ethical issue. It's not something that we can see, something that we can touch. It's something spiritual, which means that these earthly things are not themselves inherently sinful. The issue is with man. Totally depraved man and his sinful use and application of those earthly things. The issue isn't the things themselves. The issue is man and his sinful use of those things. Now, it may be the case in the life of a child of God that he has to reject certain things because of the temptations that they present to him. Alcohol, for example, or a smartphone. But in rejecting those things, he's not rejecting them because those things themselves are inherently sinful. He's rejecting those things because he recognizes his own sinful nature and the danger that they present to him because of his own weakness and his own misuse of those things. Our perspective on earthly life and earthly things is that every creature is good and nothing to be refused by the child of God. Take a few examples. Take the example, first of all, of sex and marriage. The false teachers say abstain from marriage. It's something earthly, it's something carnal, it's something sinful. But the truth of God's word is that sex is a good gift of God. Something not to be rejected, but to be received from God's hand with thanksgiving. Now, it's something that can be misused and misapplied by a person, something that can be used sinfully, in adultery and fornication and pornography and so on. It doesn't mean that it's inherently something dirty and something polluted. Take the example of food. Food is a good gift of God. It's not inherently sinful to enjoy a big fat turkey or a nice thick steak. Now, food can be misused. It can be made into an idol. A person can fall into the sin of gluttony, but that doesn't mean food itself is inherently sinful. The same is true of alcohol. Alcohol is a good gift of God. It's not inherently sinful to enjoy a glass of wine or a can of beer or a mixed drink. Again, it can be misused, easily turn into drunkenness or looking to that for happiness and a drowning of one's sorrows. But alcohol itself is a good gift from God. Money is the same. Money is not inherently sinful. It's not inherently wrong for the child of God to have a bank account, have savings accounts and retirement funds and different investments. Money can be misused. It too can become an idol. We can look to it for happiness, for security. We can make money the sole love and desire of our heart and the sole focus of our life. But money itself is not inherently wrong. Different new technologies are not inherently sinful. It's not wrong to own a TV or to have a smartphone. It's not absolutely necessary in this life to have those things, but those things aren't inherently wrong. Again, they can be misused. Someone can misuse a smartphone by using it to access pornography, to waste countless hours of time playing different games, or to use it to spread gossip and hurtful things about others. The danger is in the misuse and the application of it, not in that good gift itself. All of that means that for the child of God, we may own and we may use these good earthly gifts from God. It's wrong of us to reject and refuse them as being inherently sinful, just as it's wrong to fall into this ditch in danger for the Christian of materialism, making earthly things an idol in our life. So it's also sinful for the child of God to respond in the other way and say that all of these things are wrong and that it's sinful for the child of God to have them or to use them. It's a rejection of the good gifts that are made by our Creator and given to us. The child of God can and may use these good gifts. The child of God can and may be married, for marriage is a good gift from God. The child of God can and may and must make use of food and drink. He can and may have a TV and a computer and a smartphone that he possesses in his life. It's not inherently wrong and sinful for him to have those things and to use those things. What that also means is that the child of God may enjoy those good creations and gifts of God. The Word of God speaks of that too. For example, later in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. And then in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 2, verse 24, there is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw, that it was from the hand of God. The child of God, having received the Holy Spirit and the gift of wisdom, can not only own these things, but may enjoy those things. It's not the case that God gives us these things that we may have them, but all the while we have them, that we're to have a grudging, bitter attitude toward them. That our attitude is always one of sourness toward those earthly things. I have this good piece of meat, this steak, but when I take a bite, better not enjoy that. That'd be wrong of me. Or the attitude that when I have this glass of wine or some other earthly thing, I can have it, I can use it, but I better not enjoy that earthly thing. I better be miserable when I'm using it, because if I would enjoy any of these earthly things, well, that would be too carnal and that would be too earthly and sinful. It's a wrong attitude toward these earthly things as well. God not only gives us these things to own them and to use them, but also to enjoy them. Now that takes wisdom. It takes wisdom to make use of them and to enjoy them without them becoming idols in our life, where we make them our heart's desire and love, and our pursuit is only for earthly enjoyment. It doesn't take away from the fact that God gives us these things to use and to enjoy. We may enjoy marriage, including the physical aspect of marriage. We can enjoy good food and good drink and the other good gifts and creatures that God has given to us. Every creature of God is good, nothing to be refused. If we take those things with a grudging attitude, and the attitude that we mayn't enjoy them, we do disservice to the God who made these things and who gave these things to us. That's the proper perspective that we're to have with regard to these earthly things. Good creatures of God, nothing to be refused. But the Holy Spirit adds to that a very important qualification. An important qualification to our receiving, having, using, and enjoying those earthly things. And the important qualification is that we always do so with thanksgiving to God. Verse 3, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving. Verse 4, for every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. A qualification is important because it helps guard against the opposite ditch and the opposite danger for the child of God. Not only the danger of rejecting all of earthly things in earthly life, but it guards against the danger of materialism and covetousness. One might think, upon first reading this Word of God, that the antidote to the attitude of rejecting all of earthly life is simply embrace it all. Embrace all of earthly life and all that it has to offer. Make life about earthly things and the pursuit of earthly things. And life is all about things and the pleasure that they give to us. The antidote to rejection is simply receiving it all. That's not the answer. That too is sin. That's the sin of materialism. And that sin has this world tightly in its grip at the moment. The world and society in which we live today is consumed by the spirit of materialism. Life for them is all about things. It's about getting more of these things, getting different things, newer things, better things, and their whole life's goal is the pursuit of these things. Their life is about enjoying these earthly things. Once we have these earthly things, it's all about me, it's all about my pleasure, my entertainment, the most that I can get out of this world. It's about trust in self. I get these things in my own strength, therefore I'm sovereign and Lord over these things and can use them however I please. And the world has a tremendous pressure and influence upon the church. That spirit in the world presses ever more closely and closely upon the church of Jesus Christ. We're not immune from that spirit, even though we might think so. The fact of the matter is, we too can very easily become possessed with the spirit of materialism. The Word of God guards against that great danger also by teaching us that we're not simply just to receive and to enjoy these earthly things, but we're to do so with true thanksgiving to God. What does that mean? True thanksgiving is a grateful acknowledgement of what God has given to us. It's an acknowledging that what we have has come to us from the hand of God. If He's given to us the gift of marriage, we acknowledge it's God's hand that brought us together. The food and the drink and the clothing and the homes and all of the rest of those earthly things. True thanksgiving is to acknowledge every one of them came to us from the open hand of God. Which means that only the child of God can truly be thankful. The unbeliever doesn't acknowledge God's hand. He may talk about thanksgiving and say he's thankful, but it's not an acknowledging of having received it from God. True thanksgiving is acknowledging gratefully what God has given to us, and it's an acknowledging of the fact that we don't deserve that. True thanksgiving is the acknowledging that we're totally unworthy and undeserving what God has given to us. We've not earned them and merited them before God. They haven't come to us by our own hard work and our own good business sense. We're totally unworthy, we're totally undeserving of those things that we've received. And true thankfulness arises out of contentment. We cannot be truly thankful if we're discontent and covetous. If I'm not thankful and happy for what God has given to me and content with that, but always wanting something more, something better, something newer, then I can't give true, heartfelt thanks to God for what I have. True thanksgiving arises out of a heart of contentment with what God has given to us, whether that's much or that's very little. True thanksgiving doesn't arise out of a materialistic mindset and attitude where our heart is set upon these earthly things. It's not true thanksgiving. True thanksgiving arises out of contentment with what God has given, whatever that may be. If God has given us much, we're thankful for that. We receive it from His hand. We use it. But our heart isn't set upon those things. We don't look for happiness, for satisfaction, for security, any of those earthly things. And true happiness is an act of faith on the part of the child of God. It's a deliberate, conscious choice rather than some feeling that just happens to bubble up inside of us. True thanksgiving is not a mere feeling that we have that may come or go. True thanksgiving is an act of faith where we consciously have our heart, our mind, our eyes set upon God, looking to Him as the giver of all things, receiving it from Him, knowing ourselves to be undeserving of that, in faith, being content with what God has provided. In that way, we can think of thanksgiving, true thanksgiving, like the completion of a circle. God is the giver of every gift, and God gives us these good gifts to be used and to enjoy. But the will of God is that those things be returned again to God. And the way that they're returned to God is in thanksgiving. God is the giver. He gives to us these good gifts. We return them by expressing genuine thanksgiving to God for them. True thanksgiving is based upon the cross of Jesus Christ. True thanksgiving is not grounded in earthly things themselves and the possession of those earthly things. It's grounded solely in Christ. In Christ we have the greatest gift, that unspeakable gift of salvation. Is there anything greater or more precious to us? Is there any earthly thing that can compare to this? There's no gold, there's no rubies, there's no earthly thing that can compare to belonging to Jesus Christ. In Him to know salvation, in Him to have the hope of everlasting life, in Him to enjoy the forgiveness of our sins. It's in knowing that we belong to Jesus Christ that we receive all of these things from the hand of God who is our Father. Not just the sovereign creator of heaven and earth, but our Father for Jesus' sake, who as a Father loves us, cares for us, and provides for our needs. It's in that way, grounded in Christ, that the child of God can receive all with thanksgiving. The good, but also the difficult. Knowing that he belongs to Jesus Christ, that the child of God can receive poverty, death, loss, loneliness, discouragement and despair and the struggles of this earthly life with thanksgiving to God. As the Word of God in many places teaches us that we're to be thankful always and in every circumstance. And that only because the child of God has his eye on Christ. Knowing the grace of God to us in our salvation, we can truly be thankful to God and receive all that he sends us with a grateful heart. Our thanksgiving is not grounded in those earthly things that God gives. It's thankfulness for those things that God has given, but it's not based on and grounded in having those earthly things. If that were the case, then this would be a day only for the rich and for the healthy. If our thanksgiving was grounded in earthly things, it would mean only if we're wealthy and healthy would we be able to be thankful to God. Then what about the child of God who's poor, or the child of God who's struggling in this day? Our thanksgiving is not grounded in those earthly things and earthly realities. It's grounded solely in the cross of Jesus Christ, God's gracious salvation of us. It gives us the proper perspective on those earthly things. And we can receive whatever it is that God has given to us with genuine thanks, which is only true in this day or a child of God. Notice in verse 3, it says, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. True thanksgiving is possible only for a child of God. The fountain from which it springs is the heart that's been touched by God's grace. Millions of Americans today celebrate Thanksgiving Day. In their homes, you'll hear the word Thanksgiving. They'll talk about Thanksgiving and being thankful for all that they have. For food, for family, for football, whatever it is that they enjoy. But that's not true thanksgiving. That's worldly indulgence in earthly things. That's materialism, and that's a self-centered satisfaction. True thanksgiving is possible only for the child of God who knows the grace of God to him in Jesus Christ, who knows that all that God sends, God works together for our good and for our salvation. Apart from Jesus Christ, whatever earthly thing we may have works our destruction. It's a way in which God puts a man on a slippery slope to lead him down deeper into destruction and condemnation. Not so for the child of God. Those things work our good and our salvation, and therefore we alone can truly give thanks to our God in this day. We do that today. We receive what God has given to us, these good creatures. We own them, we use them, we enjoy them, always with thanksgiving to God and with our heart set on Him. Farmer gives thanks today for the harvest that God provided. Even though having had to plant late, having had an abundance of rain, God still provided. Child of God gives thanks in this day for a steady job, steady income for the home and for the family. Give thanks today for good food and drink that He sets before us in abundance in this day. Give thanks to God for a comfortable home in which we live. We give thanks to God for the automobiles, nice automobiles that fill up the parking lot and fill up our garages at home. Give thanks to God for health, for strength. We give thanks to God for marriage and for children. Give thanks to God for a single life and no children if such is His will. Give thanks to God for the Church of Jesus Christ to which we belong. We give thanks to God for the good Christian schools that we're able to maintain and to support. And that doesn't even begin to list all of the spiritual blessings in Christ that we give thanks for today. We have so much that we've received from the hand of God. Far beyond what we're able even to remember and to recount in this day. Certainly far beyond what we deserve. Every creature of God is good, nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. And we receive it in thanksgiving to God today. We use these earthly things service of God and of His kingdom. God gives us these things to use. We receive them with thanksgiving. And we press them into the service of God's glory and His kingdom. It comes out in verse 5 when it says, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Sanctified means to make something holy, to set it apart from common ordinary use for special devotion and consecration to God. Receiving these things from the hand of God with thanksgiving, we return them to God by using them in His service. These things are sanctified by the Word of God. God's Word declares that these things are good, that they're to be received with thanksgiving, and He teaches us that we're to use them to seek first Him and His kingdom. And they're sanctified by prayer. Child of God takes these things from the hand of God, and in prayer he thanks God for them and prays for the grace to use them to God's glory. God gives us these things not to be used like any other man, woman, or child in the midst of this world, but they're to be sanctified, set apart from common, ordinary use for special service, devotion, and consecration to God and to His kingdom. Means that we live earthly life very different. Our attitude is not spiritual things on Sunday, earthly things the other 6 days of the week. Sunday for God and devotion to God. The rest of the week I eat, I drink, I make and spend my money as I want to do so. I'm the sovereign and Lord over that part of my life. Child of God, receiving these things from God's hand, presses them into the service of God's kingdom and glory. He works just as hard, if not harder and more faithfully, than his ungodly co-worker for the same paycheck, but with a totally different attitude and mindset. It's to provide for the needs of his own home and family, to have something to give to the poor, and to support the causes of God's kingdom. He eats and he drinks, not as the man or woman of this world, but he eats and he drinks, he receives and he enjoys these good gifts of God and presses that strength into the service of God in his kingdom and his glory. Child of God even sleeps, exercises, has a hobby, for the glory of God, so that he can enjoy refreshment from his work and be strengthened and rejuvenated to continue faithfully in his work. All that he does is in the service of the kingdom and the glory of God. God has given us those earthly things for that reason. We seek first his kingdom and his glory. Part of our sanctified use of those earthly things is that we realize these things themselves are not most important, and they don't constitute the kingdom itself. These earthly things are going to perish, and our sanctified use of them means that we always have that in view. These things are not ultimate and enduring. They're temporary and passing. Doesn't mean that the child of God abuses the creation. He doesn't mutilate and rape the land. He doesn't misuse and destroy needlessly the creation, the creatures, the plants. He's a careful steward of God's creation, not wasteful and a polluter. At the same time, he recognizes these things are passing. There's not going to be some earthly kingdom of Christ on this earth. This world isn't going to go on and on forever and ever. There is going to be an end, and it's going to be a fiery end in the judgment of Jesus Christ. When he comes in judgment, heaven and earth will burn. And all of these earthly things will perish and be destroyed. Which means that the child of God with sanctified wisdom holds very loosely to these things. He may have them. He may enjoy them. Having them, he presses them into the service of God, but he doesn't hold on to them with a tightly clenched fist. Holds them loosely, being things that are not important and not ultimate. He seeks first the kingdom and the glory of God. Beloved, receive good gifts of God that He's given to you with thanksgiving, both in this day and every day of your earthly pilgrimage. Use them. Revel in the beauty of God's creation. Press those things into the service of God's kingdom and His glory. But then look forward in hope. The coming again of Jesus Christ and the everlasting spiritual kingdom that's ours. We'll live and reign with Him in a redeemed creation. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, work within our hearts genuine thanksgiving. Keep us, Father, from the great dangers and evils of worldly mindedness and materialism. Strengthen us, Father, thankfully to receive and thankfully to use these earthly things to seek first Thy kingdom and Thy glory. Give us, Father, a wise spiritual mindset and perspective as we go through this earthly life. Keep us in Thy care in this day. Bestow Thy blessing upon fellowship that we enjoy with one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, and also with family members in the Lord. Forgive our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen.